when you're talking about vouchers, what you're talking about is taking money from the public schools that we have right now and transferring it to somewhere that is not regulated. For example, the public schools are all licensed educators, right? All public schools have licensed educators. When you take a voucher and go to, say, a for-profit charter school, those schools aren't bound by the same licensure procedures that we are here in Illinois, and they don't have the same accountability that we do here in Illinois in the public schools.
Senator Brady was arguing, though, that should not parents have the right to choose where their students go?
They do right now. They can choose to send their children to a private school, but the voucher system would take the public-funded money away from public schools and divert it to potentially a for-profit charter school that has the ability to decide who they will accept and who they won't accept.
District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley has talked on our air about how the dollars for each student coming from the state really do more than just pay for that student's instruction. They help maintain the apparatus, the administrative structure, the facilities. Mm-hmm. Senator Brady responds by saying, yes, public schools have a tremendous capital advantage. How do you fall in that particular dynamic? Is the money that comes strictly for students? Is it for other purposes? And how much does that impact the overall public school apparatus?
I'm not sure you can equate a dollar-for-dollar ratio from child to the amount of funding, right? We get a certain amount of funding for each child, but it's not necessarily all spent in the same way. It's not like if you get $8,000 for a child, $8,000 is spent directly on that student. But it goes into a larger pool, and then that pool services every single child that comes through the doors, whether they have high needs or exceptional needs or low needs. We service every single student in the public schools and make sure that every single student has a high-quality public education, and it's free.
More private schools, proponents of vouchers argue, would provide opportunities for specialization for schools providing extra expertise in math, science, sports training, or college prep, or whatever. Is that a useful idea in support of vouchers?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we need to be very clear about is that all of those programs can and do exist in the public schools right now. And for example, if you wanted a school that specialized in something, you can create a public magnet school. And in fact, there are even public charter schools. And public charter schools are bound by the exact same regulations that any other public school is, ensuring again that all those children have access to a high quality education. And so when you start to take away the, you know, some people would call it red tape or bureaucratic red tape, that the regulation, then what you don't have is any sort of oversight over those schools. And so, you know, right now in Illinois, all public schools are held to the same level of accountability. That's not true of private for-profit schools.
Should it be, if the deal is made to make the dollars per student portable?
Should they be held to the same standards?
Right.
Absolutely.
What would that do to their ability to function, and how would they adjust to that?
I don't know that I can even answer that question. I'm not sure. I mean, what I can tell you is that there are states that have started this program. You know, you look across the border to Michigan, right? In Michigan, they have a voucher program, and what they found is that as people move, there are places where the public schools actually have to close because they have such low enrollment. Well, the people that live there still need a public school, and so then the students are traveling farther distances. And what they're also finding, if you go ahead and look over Michigan, is that the charter schools aren't necessarily providing any higher level of education than the regular public schools are.
Why not?
I'm not sure why they're not.
I mean, is it because the results for private institutions now are typically inflated because they're schools of choice?
I mean, it's hard to say. For the wealthy? In some cases, they are. But, you know, when you've got a portability system like that, it in some ways can level the field for those institutions, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they will. And in some cases, what happens is, you know, your voucher, if you want to go to this school, isn't enough. And so then they charge you a tuition on top of the voucher, which means that it's still not an equitable chance for a student to get into that school.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with the Unit 5 Education Association head, Carl Gehke. Senator Brady articulated an argument that vouchers disproportionately help lower-income students because their families don't have the wherewithal to pay for full tuition at a private institution, that it would make them potentially able to go to a private institution not having to pay the full tuition. Is there merit to that argument for vouchers?
Again, if you look to places that have instituted this, states that have instituted voucher programs, you will find that that's not actually what happens, that it's not actually the low-income students that leave, but it's generally the higher-income students that tend to leave.
Where does that place public schools in that sort of hybrid system?
Well, it leaves them with less resources for the students that aren't able to leave. For example, if you've got a private school, they don't necessarily provide transportation. You know, a public school is required to provide transportation to students. There's certain regulations that require us to provide transportation. When you take a student and put them in a non-public school, they don't have the same regulation to provide transportation. And so the question becomes, how do those children get there? Who has the ability to transport their children to that school where they don't provide transportation?
Do you buy the pro-voucher argument that competition between schools is increased, leading to greater efficiency and results in all schools?
No. I don't think it's been proven anywhere. I don't think there are a lot of cases where there is competition and all of a sudden schools start doing better. I mean, in the public schools, and really in any school, we're not working with a product. We're working with people. And people do well or don't do well. And having lots of different options doesn't mean that people are all of a sudden going to do better, right? In the public schools, we work hard to make sure every child that walks through that door has high-quality access public education, and it's free for them.
Do you have concerns on any constitutional grounds from government subsidizing private schools if they have a particular belief system that they are also adding to the regular curriculum?
Well, we do have a separation of church and state. It's part of our democracy. And I mean, what concerns me more than that is the idea that someone's tax dollars would be going to that institution as opposed to what is provided by the public right now.
Do vouchers make a sustainable public school system impossible? Can a hybrid system exist?
I think they can exist. I think they can exist, but I guess what I would argue right now is that Illinois' schools are high quality. And we have, especially here in McLean County, if you look to any of the public schools in McLean County, we have high quality schools in McLean County. And so I'm not particularly worried about it in our little microcosm, but when you think about the nation at large, That's what makes me worried about the voucher system is that, you know, what they found in places like Oklahoma City is that the charter moves in and the neighborhood school closes down, and then the charter buys up the public building. And then at times, these private charters, and I want to be very clear about that, private, can just leave town, and they can close overnight. Quick Google search will find you examples of that, where the school closes down overnight, very little notice to parents or students, and now those students have to go somewhere again. And where do they go? They go back to the public schools. You know, if you look around in Detroit, you'll find actually just recently an interview with a young lady who talked about having gone to 16 different schools with her vouchers trying to find a school. And she talks about how where she lives, the closest public high school is 17 miles away from her house in Detroit. But outside in the suburbs, there are, I think she mentioned like six or seven in a 5-mile radius. And, you know, it's just people moving, right? And I guess I think it shouldn't matter what zip code you live in. You should have access to a free, high-quality public education.